Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Good evening. It's a great pleasure to be with you once again on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday evening. My name is Godfrey Mwabi. The program is simply called Thursday Live. Hope that you have learned a lot on the subject that the GCIS brought you this evening. It was all about maintenance, raising children together. Yes, I hope that if you haven't been, playing that part of raising your child, make sure that you rectify that as soon as possible. And it's almost time for us to talk to somebody from the Global Business Roundtable, as always, that is between now and 7:30. And we have Apostle Quentin Kuberg with us this evening. And we'll be talking about the church being relevant on AM 657 kilohertz. Apostle, good evening and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good evening, Your Excellency Godfrey.
Wow, I'm so honored to be speaking with you this evening.
Same here.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Apostle Quentin Kuberg?
Godfrey, my wife and I, we're visionaries of a ministry called Restoration Apostolic and Prophetic Ministries. It has to do with restoration. Restoration from, the restoration of individuals to the restoration of families to the restoration of the truth in the church.
All right. Yes.
And, we work with people, from all walks of life, helping them to come to the place of restoration and, having another chance at life. And out of that was birthed a restoration center, which we basically use to take in all destitute people, and we work with them for about 6 months, and then try to teach them a skill so that when they're integrated back into society, they would be integrated back as contributors.
And where are you based? Oh, okay.
The ministry is based out on the West Rand in Maritzburg, and the restoration center is based in Magaliesburg.
Okay. Interestingly, I was in Maritzburg yesterday. I was just driving through Maritzburg because this is one of the areas that I lived in many years ago. So it was like my woods back then. Then I decided to have a drive around the place.
Okay. You know how nice it is here, beautiful, fresh air.
I wouldn't say that it is nice now, but back then it was. I think it's a shadow of its former myself. It doesn't look as good as it was, many, many years back. But anyway, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, are you still there?
Yes, I'm listening.
I hope I haven't had you, hey?
No. You're in the eye of the older.
You're right.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing what you're doing now?
We're busy with this project for about 3 years now. Ministry, we've been in ministry for about 21 years now.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. And we're talking about the fact that the church must be relevant to the community there. How important is that for the church to be relevant?
Man, it's very important because, being relative in the community really is walking in obedience to what was released in the Word of God, where God really says, listen, you need to love God with all your heart and with everything that you have and all that you are. And the next best thing is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that basically speaks about relating to not only just those in your home, but to people in the community. And also, in Zechariah 7, 9 to 10, really, there's a prophetic word released around a passage that speaks on the justice and the mercy of God, as God being, a righteous, merciful Father that always brings in the balancing of the scales. And That scripture really says, you know what? Don't oppress the widow, the fatherless, the stranger, the poor. Let none imagine evil against his brother in your heart. So that's really speaking about how we really relate to community, but more so those who really are the needy ones in community, the afflicted ones in community.
Wow. You know, I've been following, that was many years back, the story of neighboring towns of Maritzburg. I'm talking about Bosmont and Newtley and all that. That was the place that we used to have a problem with gangsterism. And I was impressed to see that the church was at the forefront to see to it that the place remained faithful. I mean, peaceful.
Yes, yes. It's key that the church really becomes involved in community, you know. The church was never designed to be restricted to the four walls of a building. The Great Commission is all about going. It's about sending. It's about giving, you know. And so it's always of going outside the four walls of the church building. And, you know, your training and your preparation and your grooming and your molding, that takes place on in the church building and so forth. But once you've had all of that done and you've been prepared, now we have to walk in obedience to the Great Commission, and we need to go into the communities and we need to become relevant. We need to become relevant. We need to meet the people where they find themselves.
I'm afraid to say that not all the churches are doing that, Moruti. What could be the problem there? Because many are just comfortable in those big, beautiful auditoriums there, and after that they just go back to their, you know, comfortable homes without, you know, without worrying about the people around them, you know, how are they living and what are they living like? You know what I'm saying? So, what can you say to people now that have such churches or have such a mindset with, I mean, those that are just interested in seeing people come into their beautiful buildings, and after that, that's it, and they will meet again next week, Sunday.
Yeah. So what needs to happen is the truth needs to be, you know, shared in these ministries that are not being relative in society. And the truth is that Jesus was all about people. God is all about people. It's all about restoration of people. And it's all about reaching the lost. You know, it's good and well we have a church full of people, but they all have been introduced to the gospel, and you know, they no longer lost, but they basically now have found Jesus. But we failed in you know, keeping the gospel restricted to them, because the gospel is supposed to be good news. It's supposed to be glad tidings. And that is supposed to be for those that are lost out there. And the only place that you're going to get lost people is outside of the church building. And so we need to reintroduce this truth. The church needs to align and come back into the accuracy of the Word of God. And then we'll start seeing God doing some major things through the church. We'll start seeing the power being demonstrated when we start aligning our ministry to the will of God. And the will of God is really that people, all people, all of mankind, will experience the restoration that came through the cross. And that speaks about restoration in all areas of life, and it also speaks of the reconciliation of man back to God through Jesus. And so we need to reintroduce this truth that was stolen from the church, restore this truth back into the church, and come back into that place of accuracy where God wants us to be as a church. You know, a question that I would ask leaders of ministries today is this, is if your ministry was to relocate to another area, would the community that you're moving from, would they miss you?
Mm. Will they even notice?
Yes. Would they even notice that you're no longer there?
Mm. That's a good one. That's a good question there. I realize that it's very difficult, or is actually impossible for one to do what you're doing there without love. And when you read the book of 1 Corinthians 13, we see there how the Bible defines a church, a loveless church there, a church without love. But it looks like most of the times we don't understand what that verse is saying to us. And of course, our Savior once said to his disciples that people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. How important is the aspect of love? Do you think that we are working in love as the church of today? I believe that it is one thing that actually drove you to do what you are doing right now.
Yes. There are many ministries that are operating in love. But, I would say that's the minority, really. We need to get the rest on board. We need to really get to the place where we don't just speak love, because Jesus was this type of person, you know. He led by example. Whatever he spoke, whatever he taught, he demonstrated with his life. And so the things that we preach, when we preach love, we teach on love, we really must be demonstrating that in society, as the church, as the representatives of Christ. Because when Christ went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of us so that we can be empowered to continue his ministry on earth. And his ministry on earth was always demonstrated to be amongst the people. He was always amongst the people. He was always preaching to the people. He was always, he basically did not restrict, himself from any type of person. He really went to anyone where he was even accused of being a wine bibber and so forth. But he really saw the value in people, because he knew that he was going to be dying for all, irrespective of status, irrespective of who you are and where you come from. And as the church, we need to get back to that place where we don't forget where God brought us from. You see, that's the mistake we make. When we are rescued, when we are delivered, when we are set free, when we are born again, when our lives are turned around and things begin to work for us, and we know the truth, and the truth is making us free in different areas of our lives, we forget that there are others that need the same. And we forget where we come from. And so, God expects us to be those that would operate in a ministry he gave each and every one of us. And that's the ministry of reconciliation, where we are, once we are reconciled back to God through Jesus, it now becomes our responsibility to help others by presenting them with the good news, the gospel, the glad tidings, demonstrating it, so that they too can be reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ. But the problem is we forget where we come from so easily. And we don't go back to those townships, to those places where we grew up, to those places where things went wrong in our lives, and we know there are others that need what we received so that they can be set free as well and be delivered, and we forget all of that. And we really need to start going back to the communities that we came from, to the communities where we caused much damage, to the communities where we know there's help needed. There are people that need help. There's afflicted people out there. And we really need to go back and invest in those communities.
Mfundisi, I've seen some of the simplest things that I believe the church could start with regard to, it being relevant to the community. Simple thing like burying people's loved ones there. But most of the times, the stumbling block is membership. They can only offer services to the members of their churches. And the question is, how much more when something serious like drug problems, the problem of homelessness, the street kids and all that, and yet simple thing like burying somebody else's loved one, it becomes a problem simply because of membership. How can we get over that hurdle of people saying, you know what, for us to be able to help the community, there must be the members of this church? Because I believe that that's the big problem today. That's one condition that the church can only assist to, provided you are the member of the church.
Yes, that's a mindset that needs to change, because how else will you reach the loss? You know, if you bury anyone, you know, you have an audience that you can present the gospel to. You know, and whether they were a member of your church or not, you are employed by God. And everyone is special in the eyes of God. And so if you're employed by God, then as a minister, that you need to realize that God wants you to help anyone. I mean, if you look at the shelter, the restoration center we have, we take anyone in. You know, anyone that's destitute, we take them in, you know, irrespective of where they're coming from. And when you see how God begins to work in them and how God begins to bring the change, and you begin to see them walk in their giftings and their callings and their talents and so forth, and you see their lives turned around, then you know, there's no greater contentment than that. But, I mean, how else will people come to experiencing what Jesus did for them on the cross if we are going to choose who we want to work with?
Murut, in closing, I don't want to make this mistake of not talking about the provision, because I'm sure that you're going to testify on this one, that when you are out there doing good to, you know, the poor, provision is always there. You know, it's like provision is waiting for us to get out there and help the needy. If you can maybe share with us with regards to the issue of provision, because people like you are never in need, more especially to do what they are called to do.
Let me tell you, let me give you a quick testimony. You know, when we counsel people and we found, you know, as a church, and we found that we always have to now send them back to those environments where they get broken down again, we realized, you know, look, we needed a building. We needed a place where we could set them up for a few months, take them out of those environments where destruction and abuse happens and so forth, and just work with them and help them to get their independence and help them to get skilled and so forth and so forth. We didn't have a cent to purchase a property. But you know what? We used the ordinances of God, the principles of God, and we took God at his word. You know, in Mark 4:20, it says, when you sow into good ground, you can expect a 30, 60, 100-fold return. But we also got the revelation that the 100-fold return, really you qualify for that when you actually sow in times where you yourself are in need or are in persecution or in tribulation and so forth. And so what we did is, as a ministry, we had $30,000 in our bank account. We took that and we decided to give $10,000 into three ministries that were also busy with building projects and so forth. And we trusted God for a 100-fold return to purchase this property that we have. We've got a farm, a 21-hectare farm. You know, we sold, and believe it or not, it didn't happen immediately. Only about after a year, after everyone had already forgotten about it and people were telling me, I'd stop talking about the place and this, that, and the other. About a year later, businessman, we go, we do deliverance to the family, whatever. He comes and he says, show me this place. And I show it to him and he says, okay, I'll purchase this property for you guys from my business. And he purchases the place for us. You know, and the purchase amount plus, you know, some of the extras that was done, like the connectivity for electricity and so forth, worked to over $3 million. So we took $30,000.
Wow.
It's based on the principle of God, and we received more than $3 million back. That's 100-fold return, more than 100-fold return.
Absolutely.
And so the principles of God works when you're doing what he wants you to do. When walking in obedience to the mandate he's given you. And I'm telling you, if there's a group in society that is close to the heart of God, then it is the widow. It is the father, the orphan. It's the stranger. It's the poor. And you know that word poor speaks of the needy. It speaks of the afflicted. It speaks of the depressed in mind or circumstances. And God's heart is close to those. And whenever you do it to them, I'm telling you, my brother, you will never let.
Apostle, unfortunately, time is not on our side, but thank you very much. I so wish that we can, you know, host you or bring you back a couple of weeks from now, because what we have there, I believe that it's exactly what people need to hear. And, of course, they need to know how they can be able to start, you know, what you are talking about. Yes, yeah. Thank you very much. All the best, Mfundiswa.
God bless. Thank you so much.
That's Pastor Quinton Kuberg. From Reisberg in the West Rand. I hope that you have learned a lot from him this evening. If you need more information, you can call 011-242-8012. Up next, Bishop.
One vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit. Impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.